Mic check.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Men Wolf Pack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Two Man Wolf Pack. As always, my name is Adam, coming at you from my basement in Minneapolis. And dialing in from Chicago is my good friend,
Brian.
Brian, today is Tuesday, February 7th, 2017. It's been 9 days since our last podcast. The Wolves were 1-4 over the 9-day stretch, currently on a 4-game losing streak, which is pretty demoralizing, combined with Zach LaVine being out for the year, which we'll get into in a little bit. Our overall record is now 19-33. We're 24 and a half games back of the Warriors for the one seed in the West, and 4.5 games back of the Nuggets for the playoffs. We slipped a game in that department, which is not good. Quick agenda. News and notes, pretty traditional agenda today. No hot guests like good variants from last week. We have news and notes, mailbag, where are they now, and then mostly good, bad, ugly this week because we only had one win. Keep the emails coming, guys. TimWolvesPodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at TWolvesPodcast. Brian, before we get in the news and notes, how you been?
Good. Just got back from a weekend trip to D.C. That was fun. We ate pretty well. Have you ever had Ethiopian food?
No, you've told me about it many times, and it sounds like something I'd really enjoy, but I haven't done it yet.
I feel like there's some good ones over in West Loop, like Blue Nile, but it's really good. You should try it. Also had really good French food. Just kind of hung out around D.C. It was a good weekend overall.
Nice. You do anything touristy?
Touristy, no. We just ate and drank.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it was good. Went for a 6-mile run. I'm up to 6 now.
Good for you. You're ready for the half.
It's a pretty garbage 6. I'm still at the point where after 3 miles, I get kind of tired and then have to take a break. But what's weird is after the break, I'm fine.
That is kind of weird. After 6, you feel pretty good?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I think I don't go up this weekend. I think I do 6 again, but I don't know. Training's going well. It's fine. I'll do a half marathon. It's not a big deal.
When's the actual half?
April 8th.
April 8th. Okay, coming up. I have a little marathon announcement myself.
Tell us.
I'm trying to tell a lot of people this so I don't like back out, so I'm committed. But I'm signed up to do the Twin Cities Marathon. It's October 1st. I think I've done 3 half marathons before, if I remember right. But I've never done a full. So I'm a little nervous, but more excited. I think it's going to be hard yet fun. And, you know, I've never been an organized race guy, as we talked about on the pod, but man, my body hurts more every year. So I figure if I'm going to do it, I got to do it now. And, you know, maybe I'll lose a little weight in the process. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. But you managed to eat so much. You haven't lost weight yet.
That's true. Well, I haven't started training for the marathon. I mean, I figure when I get...
I know, but you're still putting up. We've talked about this. You put up like 25 miles a week. You should be losing weight now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I should. I should be doing that.
Well, anyways, I'm proud of you. Congrats for signing up. Like we talked about last week, you're really thinking about doing it, and that's impressive.
I know. I'm really thinking about doing it.
You're as close as you can get to doing it without actually doing it.
I know. It's kind of nice, though, when I tell people, they've been, like we talked about off here, I've been getting congratulations and stuff. And it's like, I told a couple of coworkers today, actually, and they looked at me like, oh, you're going to do a marathon, huh? good luck. I don't think they believe that I can do it, which is motivating. I'm going to show them.
Yeah. I mean, neither of us is really built like a marathon runner. So I think the fact that we're doing it is just putting our knees on borrowed time.
I think that's true. I'm not going to be breaking any world records. In fact, they pick you up if you don't finish sub 6 hours in Twin Cities. So,
wow, you only get 6? I think I had like 6.5.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. You only get 6, but yeah. Well, hopefully I can finish sub 6.
A legitimate concern of mine was finishing in 6. I was like, yeah, as long as I finish while the course is up, I can be proud about that and not feel too embarrassed.
Yeah, if they pick me up in the van, I'm not telling the story on the podcast, just so you know.
But I will.
Let's get into some Timberwolves stuff.
We can if you want. I don't know what you want to talk about.
You know, we got to lead with a big story. I know it's a bummer, but Zach LaVine out for the rest of the year. Who knows, maybe in the start of next year with a torn ACL. He came down awkwardly on a drive. This was against the Pistons. Went up with Andre Drummond, went up. Their knees kind of collided, and then he landed awkwardly. I'm not quite sure where the injury occurred, if it was the knees hitting or the awkward landing. I feel like it was maybe the awkward landing. But anyways, he went on to play six more minutes in the game. He was clearly not at full speed. To be honest, no idea why he kept him in the game. I'm not sure that's going to affect his timetable on coming back, but it was just kind of something that got to me. Like, you know, we're not going to win the title this year. Someone's hurt. Take him out of the game. It's not rocket science. Brian, your initial reaction to this news?
I mean, it's sad, especially for a guy as athletic as that. You never know how they're going to come back. But, I mean, the good news is he's young. Young guys usually recover a bit better. Their bodies are more fluid's not the right word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, they bounce back easier.
It's good. Amiable?
Yeah, it's good he's not 29, right?
Yeah. So I think he can come back. Amari Stoudemire came back, though his is microfracture. Anyways, I'm going to stop trying to BS about who I know that tore their ACL.
Here's the thing. No one knows. Like, he could come back 100%. He might not. Like, I know that's not satisfying. It's not much of a cutting analysis.
No, I don't agree. He'll definitely come back 100%.
I mean, no one knows. And and that's the bummer, right? I mean, there's some chance he's not going to come back as the player he was before.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. That's the scary part. I mean, for this year, it's fine, right? Like, it's really deep draft class. We have a good pick. I think what this does for this season is it means we shouldn't. We definitely shouldn't make a trade to try and, you know, win now. That veteran help that we thought might be coming, I don't think we should get it.
Well, we did, breaking news, we signed Lance Stephenson to a 10-day, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Oh, we got Lance. Yeah, so I think that's fine. We'll get a better draft pick and a really good draft. But, yeah, it is scary if he doesn't come back himself. That'll be really devastating. These will be the glory days, Adam. The 33 and 49 glory days.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm optimistic he'll come back 100%. It oftentimes takes players, you know, a full year to come back and get to that 100%. So I do think he's going to be probably not at full speed to start next year, but who knows? I wish him the best. Seems like a tough guy. He's going to work hard at his recovery. Brian, a few people have asked me, and this was talked about on the Wolves message boards a bit, but do you fault Tom Thibodeau at all for this injury? And I say that because he has a history of playing his starters a lot of minutes, and that's no exception with Zach LaVine. In fact, Ryan, Zach LaVine and Andrew Wiggins are tied for third in the NBA in minutes per game at 37.2 minutes per game for both of them. Does that factor in at all in your mind?
So have you seen data or report that playing more minutes leads to a higher incidence of injury outside of the fact, like controlling for amount of time on the court? Do you get what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. And no, I have not seen data other than that. That would make sense, right? Like if you play 20% more minutes, you're about 20% more likely to get hurt, right?
Well, does that kind of answer the question then though?
It doesn't. If Zach LaVine was playing 32 minutes per game instead of 37, by that math, he's what, 15% less likely to get injured. Is this even worth discussing? Does any of this go on Thibs?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen anything conclusive. It seems like it's a pretty quickly answered question with this, like a regression like that, which I'm sure someone has done, but we just haven't looked for it. So no, I don't think a guy who's 21 tearing his ACL is Tibbs' fault. He does seem to have this unfortunate history of like dudes with big injuries on his team, but Derrick Rose definitely wasn't his fault. Noah's kind of not a fluid athlete, and he just kind of broke down. Yeah, no, it's definitely not Tibbs' fault.
I agree. I don't think it's Tibbs' fault at all. It's just an unfortunate injury. I mean, yeah, LaVine has been playing a lot of minutes. He's also really young and is still playing fewer minutes per game than LeBron James. And, you know,
and LeBron's never been hurt.
LeBron is like just a tank. Like, I don't even,
it's insane.
I don't even understand.
It seems like the first Cleveland year, he may have been slowing down a little bit. It's like, oh, he's kind of on the older side for him. But man, this year maybe he's slowing down. I don't know. But it seems like it's never going to happen. He's so freaking good.
You think he'd like have a – I mean, the thing about these athletic guys who play a lot of minutes, I mean, an ACL is in the realm of possibility, right? That's kind of a common injury around these guys. And LeBron's had nothing like that happen to him.
Yeah. I mean, Russ played a lot. Russ had one. But again, like, it seems like most NBA players, if they don't get some major injury where they miss meaningful time at some point in their career, they're really lucky. And yeah, I mean, Wiggins played a ton last year. He's playing a ton this year, and he's fine. So total luck. Nothing new with Tibbs playing him a lot. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I agree. So as I alluded to before, Brian, we just signed Lance Stephenson to a 10-day contract to try to somewhat fill the void left by Zach LaVine not being able to play. Your thoughts on bringing in Lance for a 10-day? My initial thoughts are, why not?
Yeah, it's a 10-day. Why not? Literally.
How far has Lance fallen, by the way? It's very strange. What happened to him?
Pretty freaking far. He shouldn't have left Indiana. Dude should have stayed in Indiana.
I mean, it's kind of amazing.
I think he was just, he was clearly kind of a problem child. You know, he's someone who needed close supervision. I think Larry Bird played a real father figure role for him. They kind of kept him in line. And then I think once he left, he basically just didn't want to listen to anyone. So I don't know what to make of it. There's still a talented dude in there who should be able to come in off bench units and beat up on bad players.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it seems like a good signing on a 10-day. It's essentially no risk for the Wolves, and they have a roster spot for it. Some people in the Wolves community are maybe getting a little overly excited about us signing Lance. Like, he's going to fix some of our problems. I don't think he's going to, but it's a nice addition. Why not pick him up?
Why not? I mean, even last year, he wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible. He got played 26 games for the Grizz, got 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 81% from the line. He got to the line, the best rate in his career.
What did he shoot from his 3?
Effective field goal percentage was 49%. Last year from 3, he shot 36%. The year before, he shot 40%.
Oh, I thought it was a lot worse than that for some reason. Okay.
He was really bad at 3 in Charlotte. But, I mean, his last year in Indiana, when he played 35 minutes a game, he shot 35%. So not a great three-point shooter, but not one that's going to hurt you. Like, we'd love it if some of our guys shot 35%.
Yeah, I know.
Namely Wiggins and Shabazz. But the numbers say he shouldn't be that bad. I think it's his dumb turnovers that upset people and his inability to play defense or unwillingness to play defense anymore.
Yeah, he used to be a good defender.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a lot of Lance talk for a 10-day. Let's move on, Brian. Britt Robson of MN Post did a lengthy interview with Tom Thibodeau. It went into print version in 2 parts on the website. Britt always does a really nice job with these interviews. This was no exception. Did a super nice job interviewing Thibs. And I got to say, I love reading Thibs talk about basketball. I love listening to him talk about basketball. In fact, when he did a podcast last year with Zach Lowe, that's what made me really get on the Thibs bandwagon and sort of rally for us to hire him. He's impressive.
That's what convinced you he'd be better than Sam Mitchell?
Well, obviously we wanted Mitchell to be replaced, but I was hesitant to bring in an older guy who's very intense with a young team. And frankly, there's still some uncertainty around that, but his level of knowledge of basketball and the modern NBA is unquestionable. So I was very impressed. I think everyone should give this interview a read. It was a lot different read than the interview that Britt Robson did last year with Sam Mitchell, where he talked about the binders, Britt. I got all the binders. Anyways, Brian, it's a good interview. Everyone should check it out.
Yeah, I read the first half. It's really dense. It's not like an easy read. It's really long. It's really long, technical.
And it's really in-depth. Like, they talk really specific things about specific players, and it's not a high level interview, and that's what I liked about it.
I liked it, but it's not something I was excited to go back to and read more of. Tibbs is really good at kind of skirting around the questions, but while giving you just enough in-depth basketball knowledge to kind of know what the young guys are working on.
Yes.
Without being like, yeah, I wish they'd freaking try harder. I yell at them every day. It's like, we see a little progression. We focus on the things, blah, blah, blah. He's very diplomatic.
He is.
For a guy who spends every game shouting in front of a ton of people.
I know, it's so true. Well, I enjoyed the interview.
No. Very good interview. One thing I want to bring up. So ESPN's projections came out for the rest of the season. And believe it or not, we are projected to go 31-51 from where we stand today, which would be 12-18. Adam, do you think that's a realistic target?
I mean, I would have actually said we were going to do better than that prior to Zach LaVine being out. I do think that's a realistic target, though. We've talked. It felt like we're about a 500 team before the Zach LaVine injury, and now 12-18 the rest of the year out. That's probably pretty close. If I had to bet, I'd probably bet the under on 12 wins, but not way under.
Okay.
What do you think?
How do you feel? I mean, I think that number's close to right. How do you feel about the fact that we got worse this year?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
You could be a sideline reporter on the national team. Obviously, I don't feel good about it. It's not good.
I agree. It is not good.
I mean, I feel frustrated by it. I feel like the games are sometimes fun to watch. Frankly, sometimes they're really hard to watch, and it's not as enjoyable as it could be as a fan. Sometimes I'm just dumbfounded by our play, our defensive breakdowns, our last minute play calling. Again, we'll get into it this week, but I don't understand how we're worse than last year. Like, I don't get it.
Sam Mitchell's somewhere listening to the pod right now going, I know.
I know. It's all in the binders. He knows, but
yeah, you know, and frankly, our tone has even shifted quite a bit from last pod.
It's the Zach LaVine injury is what's shifted the tone for me. It's kind of has me down.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, the fact we lost four games in a row to only, let's say, two good teams. Somehow Miami's actually playing insanely well right now, but the Pistons are very beatable. They're trying to trade some guys and get a little bit worse. And we didn't finish those games as strong as we had previously, so we got back on the wrong side of variance. I told you good variance is going to leave town. So, yeah, it's just unfortunate. There's not a lot to be positive about lately. We're probably going to lose to the Raptors. And, you know, 19-29 sitting a game and a half out or whatever it was, like two or three games out of the eighth seed, looked a lot better than 19-33. And now we're
4.5 back in Denver.
Yeah.
For the eighth
seed. I mean, yeah, and we're back to being one game ahead of the, or like a game and a half ahead of the Lakers, and then three ahead of the Suns.
It's obviously not good.
If the Suns string a couple, if any one of these teams strings a couple together, we're like, we could be, now that Zach's hurt, we could easily finish with the worst record in the West. It's obviously, it's not good. I guess the question is, how concerned are you?
I'd say mildly concerned, moderately concerned, maybe. We weren't going to win the title this year. I did think we'd be competitive. The fact we didn't really spend money in free agency, I think, is showing itself in terms of our veteran help and our bench play.
No, I totally disagree.
Really?
You think our bench was a lot better last year?
I think our bench was a little better last year, yeah.
Oof, I don't know if I'd agree with that.
We must have the worst bench in the NBA this year. You think this bench is better than last year?
It should be.
Okay, we should be a 500 team.
I think talent-wise, I don't think it's necessarily worse. I think, honestly, missing those Garnett minutes really hurts us. Because although he couldn't really do a lot on offense, if he was open, he could hit a shot. And he was still, frankly, he was still a plus on defense. And having those 15 minutes a game distributed between Kat and Gorgie has not really helped. You know, I think they could do with a little less minutes, and Cole Aldrich has not really played much at all. So I think we missed that. Prince probably helped more than we thought as a good defender.
That's true. That's very true. And frankly, having a veteran point guard last year, not having it this year, has hurt a lot. Chris Dunn has been a huge disappointment. There's no other way to say it. I still have hope he can be a good player in the future, but for this year, He was one of the favorites to win Rookie of the Year. How ridiculous!
He was voted the favorite by the rookies. Yeah, boy, that didn't pan out, huh?
It did not pan out.
It did not pan out. Cole Aldridge got a little bit worse this year. Brandon Rush has gotten hardly any minutes. I thought Belly was going to be a lot stronger after finishing strong last year. I'm sure he'll do the same thing this year because he's a huge head case. And frankly, but the big thing that got us both was we underestimated the learning curve for NBA defense.
That's correct. That's correct. It seemed like we could bring in Thibodeau, a defensive-minded guy. He could work with the young guys who are all very athletic, and the end result would be hopefully we have a average defense this year. And obviously you're right. That has not happened.
Yeah. And I do think it speaks to when you can't just have all young guys. The 76ers are playing a bit better this year based on sheer talent, but they're definitely not good. But you can't just have only young dudes running the show. Even with a strong coach like Tibbs, I think you need some vets. We don't really have vets that play a meaningful role. And I think that honestly, like more than the playing time, I think that's where we miss Garnett. I think he would help focus everyone a bit more. We got a lot of smoke blown up our asses during the season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's just Garnett. I think it's the vets in general that we miss. I mean, last year we had Kevin Martin on the team for better or worse. He could actually come off the bench and play some minutes. Andre Miller at point guard was weirdly better than Chris Dunn is this year. You know, like you said, Tayshaun Prince probably played too many minutes last year, but at least was a plus on defense. So yeah, I your comment though that we're not good because I mean, if we brought in a couple of veterans for say $8 to $10 million a year in the offseason, we would undoubtedly be better than we are right now. It's just, was that the right path to take for our overall trajectory? I still don't think it was, but we would certainly be better now if we spent a little more money. I mean, we're under the floor.
Yeah.
So, you know, which again, I'm not complaining about. I think hopefully we do spend the money soon. Is this the off season, Brian, to do it? Are we another season away now? Where are we at?
Is this the off season to sign a free agent?
Yeah, not just maybe one, maybe two. I mean, like, here's what I don't want to happen. Like, us to be under the salary floor again next season, and we're going to have the same roster plus, say, the fifth or sixth draft pick, and that's not going to get us anywhere.
Yeah, we're going to have anywhere from the fifth to the eighth draft pick. What makes me nervous is our pick right now is slated to be this Lauri Markkanen guy. He sings a Tuesday song. Have you heard that?
I have not. I do not want to pick this guy, by the way. On Draft Express, actually, they have us taking Jason Tatum, who's a small forward out of Duke, 6'8", 19 years old, 200 pounds.
Jason Tatum.
I just read stats because that's all I know about.
Yeah, obviously. I don't want another 6'9 athletic forward who's raw. That sucks. I don't know, man. I don't know what to do. Maybe this Markkanen guy is the world's best shooter. We can have two big guys who are really good at shooting but can't guard anyone.
We can't add a guy like that. That pick makes no sense. I don't even know why people are talking about it. Like we already have
Gordy. He's a big European guy, and we're Minnesota.
I know. It's like, are people not paying attention to our roster? Gorgie and Towns are locked in. We don't need another big guy who is good at offense and bad at defense. Can we get like Norlands Noel somehow in a trade?
It's too late. He's playing better now, and they don't want to trade him anymore.
That's the kind of guy we need.
Yeah, and they need a point guard. We could trade. I would trade Chris Dunn for Norlands Noel right away.
Yeah, we should make a call.
Real quick. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we draft this guard out of Wisconsin. Out of France. He's supposed to be super athletic. And I don't know what to make of our construction when we draft next year. Do we just draft as if Chris Dunn's not there? You'd be hard-pressed to convince me that he's the answer. He's going to be a good defensive guard. But, I mean, the Celtics are close to getting rid of Marcus Smart. He's probably a little bit better on both sides of the ball.
I mean, we are not going to draft a point guard in the draft.
Okay, well, we don't really need a shooting guard. We don't really need a small forward. We don't really need a center.
We could use a wing who can defend.
That's what Wiggins was supposed to be.
Yeah, Wiggins is obviously not that.
Yeah,
I mean, we could even use a power forward again who can defend and like play some minutes with the starters and also like play minutes with the bet. I mean, those are the kinds of guys I think we really need. It's kind of weird to have like our starters are all locked down, right? Like our starting lineup is locked in and we're a bad team. It's kind of a weird spot to be in.
Yep. Nope. It's tough. At least it's a good draft. I mean, worst case, we'll get Harry Giles.
Harry Giles. What's his nickname going to be again?
God.
It was like one there. He sings some, they sing some songs.
You don't know you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Mr. Beautiful. Yeah. So is this the summer, Adam? You know what's nice though? At this point in the season last year, we're already talking about free agents, and this is our first free agent talk of the season, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
How does that make you feel?
You know, it makes me feel like we still had some hope that we could make a run at the playoffs until the Zach LaVine injury, and now our hope has died. So, yeah, it's kind of cool that we waited until February 7th, I guess, to talk about. I'm on Draft Express as we speak. I'm looking at mock drafts. We're talking free agents. Definitely looking forward. This season has been lost. Yeah, we need to bring in some free agents this season. We can't run this back again. We can't do it.
Kind of agree. How old do we want to go? Would you sign Serge Ibaka this offseason?
Yes.
Oh, he's going to take like $25 million of our cap space for the next 4 years. I know. You know who I want? I want George Hill.
George Hill would be nice.
I'd really like George Hill. George Hill can play. And he's a professional, damn it.
George Hill would be nice. Serge would be really nice too, but you're right. That's going to make it problematic to be able to sign.
That's our cap room for the next 4 years. It's Serge Ibaka and Gorgui Dieng. We're very international, but we're not very good.
Man.
And they're saying Serge is probably older than his listed age, which is why he's already starting to get a little bit worse.
Yeah, I'd like to have a redo on that Gorgui signing.
Yeah, man, me too.
I don't want to take anything away from him. He's a solid player, and I don't think he was super overpaid. I don't think he's the right guy to
fit. No, it wasn't exactly
this lineup.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Okay, so going another route, would you max out Kyle Lowry? I think Toronto will max him out, but
yeah, I was gonna say I don't think we're gonna have the opportunity, but yeah, I would.
He's getting a little bit older.
We're not in the running for that. Like, even if we were willing to do that, I don't think we have any chance of signing him.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think we'll get those kind of guys. I would pay Paul Millsap a buttload of money for 2 years.
He's going to get like a max deal.
God, he's like 32 already though. Who's going to pay him? Who's going to want to pay him $30 million when he's 36?
Well, yeah, that's not why you signed him the max. You signed him the max to get him for a couple years. A couple good years
and then just dump him. I don't know.
He's pretty freaking good though. Like he'd be a huge addition to the Wolves.
Yeah, I think he would get us all the way to the 7th seed. To the promised land.
I'd take it. Like obviously I'm frustrated cuz we're losing and LaVine's out for the year, but man, we need to get in the playoffs. We spend so much time watching these games and doing the podcast, and I go to, I don't know, I've been to a dozen games this year. I've been to a lot of games, and it's
I can't
just,
take it anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of
You're like Squints and Sandlot. Oiling and lotioning.
It's just year after year we're talking about like what are we doing here? There's so much optimism every year, and every year we're terrible. So I guess I'm willing to bring down the ceiling on the future for more help today. I don't know if that makes sense logically, but emotionally that's where I'm at.
Yeah. You know what sucks is we've actually drafted pretty well. Our pieces just don't fit together. Like by all accounts, Zach was an amazing draft pick. Like the return on him at 14 is insane.
Oh, absolutely.
Wiggins, I don't know, man. He's probably like near expectations. He's probably slightly below expectations for number one pick. there's some hits, there's some misses, but you'd like to see, you know, a guy who's going to be an all-star in his fourth or fifth year. Towns, pretty damn good. Could be a little bit better defense, but very happy with that pick. But something's just not working. Like, Miss Dunn, that sucks. We're going to get a high draft pick this year. Hopefully that's a hit. But it's not that we're not drafting relatively well. We're just, we didn't draft a cohesive team.
I mean, our team's insanely young, and we didn't bring in any, I mean, yeah, we brought in a couple veterans, but they were low impact, low paid guys. And I guess that's kind of what you get when you have a really young team.
Are they all so bad at defense across the board? They're just all bad at defense.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Like, you think one guy would be a good defender. Who's our lockdown defender?
Wiggins, if it's in the last minute and we're on TNT.
And he doesn't have to rotate. Yeah, no.
Yeah, and he
doesn't work
like
that. Is it Rubio?
No.
No. It's not that.
We don't have a lockdown defender.
It's not Towns. There's not even one, like, good defender on our team. Anyway.
This has turned into just a rant fest.
We're not even done with news and notes.
This has gotten off the rails. Just complete rant.
Anyways, but real quick on free agents, what sucks is there's the great guys you can't get. So there's Durant as a player option. Curry's unrestricted. Could get Curry. Maybe he wants to pull a Durant.
Yeah, I mean, basically any guy who would get a max from a different team than the Wolves, we can't get.
I don't know. You think that's true?
I absolutely think that's true. Yeah.
Got a lot of cap space, a lot of young talent, a good coach.
Yeah, but, like, no one's coming here.
Blake Griffin would.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Maybe. He is a player option. He's going to opt out for sure. Chris Paul maybe leaves once Blake leaves. Maybe we get them both. So we'll get Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. We'll be starting Chris Paul, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, Blake Griffin, Cat.
Now, that's a team that can win.
That, my friends, is a 4 seed, if I've ever seen one.
I can get behind that team.
God, we'd actually be quite bad in the playoffs.
I don't care. I just want to go to a playoff game.
Gordon Hayward's staying, Lowry's staying. Millsap's, like, the only guy we could get, but he's going to be so bad in the back half of that contract. And then you're already in the tier of, like, Drew Holiday, Danilo Gallinari, Serge Ibaka. George Hill's the only one in the next tier that really gets me excited. Jeff Teague's not bad. Anyway.
Teague's interesting. I could actually, like, see us bringing in Teague.
Nerlens Noel is restricted, but I think Philly's probably going to keep him. I'd be down to sign Noel this offseason. That'd be great.
Yeah. You might as well throw an offer sheet at him.
Yeah. And J.J. Redick. I would actually love to get J.J. Redick.
Yeah, we're not going to get J.J. Redick.
Dude, we almost had J.J. Redick. Don't you remember this?
No, I don't.
He was in final negotiations with Flip, and it was down to us and the Clippers, and I forget what the story was, but, like, he was about to sign our offer, and then someone from the Clippers, like, called him and convinced him to change his mind and go to the Clips, and that was when he became a Clipper.
You know what their pitch was? They said, "We're the Clippers."
Do you want to live in L.A. or Minnesota? You're 25.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's so good we can't get him. I'm just saying he's the kind of guy who fits really well with a lot of good teams because of what he can do. So I think there's a lot of demand for players like him on good rosters.
Yeah. Okay. Then the other guy that we're probably going to sign is Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I don't want Derrick Rose.
He's the worst.
I don't want anything to do with Derrick Rose.
He's, like, the worst player per minute.
He seems like a
NBA.
Kind of a bad dude, too. Like, I just don't want Derrick Rose.
Do not want. What's next on the news and notes?
Man, this is off the rails. You want to talk about some stupid 3-on-3 league with Ice Cube?
I do. So just so everyone knows, because I'm sure you've all heard about it, there's a new league coming out that is backed by Ice Cube called the Big 3. So they've already have some famous people signed up. So what it is it's 8 teams of former NBA stars. And they're going to play every Saturday across the nation, and they're going to play 3-on-3 starting in the summer when fans are going through NBA withdrawal. Now, to give it more credibility, they got Roger Mason Jr., former NBA player and current employee of the National Basketball Players Association, to serve as the commissioner. However, the big news is they actually have some really legit players. So this week they signed Allen Iverson, They have Chauncey Billups, Steven Jackson, who is always fun to be around, Jermaine O'Neal, Rashad Lewis, White Chocolate, Mike Bibby, Al Harrington, former Timberwolf. Guess which one, Webby?
A former Timberwolf.
Who's exciting and likes to shoot.
Exciting, likes to shoot.
He likes to get triple doubles by bouncing the ball off the backboard.
Oh, man, who did that?
Ricky Davis.
Oh, okay, Ricky Davis is pretty exciting.
They got some weird players in here. They're like Allen Iverson, Chauncey Billups, Kenny Martin, and then Ricky Davis, Al Harrington.
This isn't like a serious thing. This is like a kind of like an all-star game atmosphere, I bet, right? They're not playing hard with these players.
And they also got Bonzi Wells, who I also want to throw in because he's like the weirdest player ever. He's basically a 6'5 power forward who just pokes at guards.
Yeah, I know. His old man game is so good.
Every game will be on a half court and begin with a do or die half court shootout. While the contest will be 3-on-3, each roster will have 5 players because the guys are old and they get tired.
Yeah, this is a fun little like thing in the summer, right? They play once a week and maybe they're on like, what channel do you think this is gonna be on? I don't think it's big enough for TNT.
It could be like Spike. It's Slam Ball.
Yes, yeah, Spike. Spike's a good call. I can see Spike.
Yeah. But anyways, I just thought that was fun. A little piece of positive news. It's good to see AI working again. And then it would actually be really sweet if they got Marbury to come to some of the games so we get big in China.
That would be sweet. Where are these games going to be played? Are these going to be in Vegas?
Around the country, it said.
Oh, okay.
And they already have their revenue sharing with the players. The players are going to get 52%, just like the NBA.
Oh, nice. All right. Yeah, if one of those games is in Minneapolis, I would absolutely go. And we still got to make it out to Summer League one of these summers, Brian.
Yeah, this could... this summer is actually terrible. But I'm ready soon.
Okay, we'll make it happen. Moving on to the mailbag, Brian. I don't have any more news and notes.
I think I'm good.
You've got mail.
Okay, that was good. That was therapeutic for us.
We needed that.
Yeah, we had to get some stuff out. Mailbag, thanks for the emails, guys. A couple emails this week. Keep them coming. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com. First email is from Jamie. Jamie, thanks for the email. Jamie enjoyed our skit with Good Variants last week, Brian. He said the voice is brilliant, and he wanted to know if it was Crack Fox from YouTube fame. He sent a video along, and I did watch it. Thanks, Jamie. And the voice is very similar, but it was not modeled after Crack Fox. It was modeled after Towley from South Park. Well, he just happened to sound like Towley. He was actually on the podcast, I guess. Thanks for the email, Jamie. Next email is from Kai. Kai, thanks for the email. Always appreciate it. He said on the last podcast, we botched Shabazz's nickname. It's Shabay, not Shabai, as we were saying. He says we should pay more attention as he yells, A, literally every time he gets the ball around the rim. Thanks for the correction, Kai. Appreciate it. He also said, do you guys consider Gorgie as an all-star snub? Because I do. Yeah. Pretty funny. Brian, anything on the Twitterverse this week?
Yes. We got a couple tweets after our last win. Lap Boy says he dunked that because Tibbs didn't stop barking on him for the two turnovers prior. He got angry, which is in reference to the Wiggins dunk. Rubio said that started everything in OT. Belly said he wanted to save Ricky's on the block when asked about it. It was a cute little story. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
So what happened was Ricky was like fake interviewing Belly after the win when Belly got a block, which he never gets. And he's like, Belly, what'd you think of that block? He's like, oh, well, I had to save your ass. So he got beat.
That is pretty funny.
Super cute. I know.
You just brought that up because you wanted to tell a little Belly story.
Well, Belly's amazing. He can
do
everything.
We haven't even talked about Belly this whole podcast.
I know. It's killing me. Anyways, Lapboy says, please ship Chris Dunn to Iowa. What do you think? Do you think we should ship him to Iowa?
You know, it's not actually that ridiculous. I don't think we should, but it's not a terrible idea, actually, to put him in the D League, let him play some real minutes to get his confidence up.
Yeah, it might not be. I'm pretty indifferent. I think it'd be, like you said, I think it'd be good for him. He doesn't hurt us so much when he plays in that he's not like pain when he's out there. He's just messing up. He just can't do a lot on offense right now, and that's what hurts us.
Yeah, and He thinks he can, though, is somewhat the problem.
Yeah. Trey says, yo, sorry about Zach. Thanks, Trey. We're sorry, too. And then Mike Lewis says, at Tools Podcast, regarding Detroit, we have a bigger star, Cap, and more stars, Wiggins and Zach. So why are they consistently the better team? Adam, what do you think?
Well, they're a lot better defensively. They play better together, and they're an older team. I think those are primarily the reasons. Their parts also are fit together better than our parts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of our new focuses on the pod, is like our parts just don't fit.
Yeah, and Thibs, by the way, is aware of that. You know, who knows how he fixes it, but I do have confidence he's gonna do some things.
Agreed.
Any other tweets?
That's it, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll plug it one more time. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at TWolvesPodcast. We appreciate it, guys. It's fun to get feedback and comments and questions. Brian, let's do a Where Are They Now segment.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
Stop me when you know who this is. Born in Martinique, which is an island in the Caribbean. I've not been to Martinique, but I have been to Petite Martinique, which is kind of cool. He moved to Paris at the age of 15, where he attended INSEP High School. In 1990, he made the French U18 team and won a European title in 2000, playing alongside Tony Parker and Boris Dia. In 2001, he attended college at Gonzaga, where he graduated with a triple major in sports management, communications, and French. Wikipedia wanted us to know that he was the first triple major in his family, Brian.
Yeah, also real tough to throw in the French major.
Yeah, I know. And it was added, like oftentimes you see, like, he was the first college graduate in his family, and that's pretty cool. And it's like, obviously they'd overcome a lot to do that. It's like, nope, first triple major in his family. Anyways, in the 2005 NBA draft, he was picked 37th overall by the Lakers. However, didn't play that year for the Lakers because his physical revealed he had an enlarged aortic root in his heart, which required open heart surgery to fix. He actually wrote a great account of this in the Player Tribune in 2015. If you guys haven't read it, give it a read. It's actually really well written. Maybe ghost written, who knows? Just throwing that out there. And so in his NBA career, which ended up going 11 years.
Was it Robert Sacre?
It's not.
Oh.
He played for the Warriors, the Knicks. He went overseas, played a year in France, played for the Wizards, the Heat, the
Frederick
Cavs.
Weiss?
Sorry?
Okay. Frederick Weiss?
No. I think you'll get it, though. He finished his career in Minnesota, Brian, and he ended his career in Minnesota with 149 career points, 175 career rebounds in Minnesota, and 625 minutes played. He retired in 2016 due to hip pain from the league and is currently retired today. And according to his Twitter, it looks like he's traveling the world and just sort of hanging out. Brian, he famously interned at a advertising agency.
Oh. And Ronnie Turioff?
Yes, you got it.
Gosh.
Yeah, see, we have a couple degrees of separation with Ronnie Turioff with some friends. So, yeah.
Wait, what is the intern thing? Tell me more about that.
Remember this? I think it's when we had Christine on the podcast. She brought it up. And he interned there. He came in like once a week or something to like learn the business. This was when he was still actually playing.
I don't remember the story at all.
Yeah, he totally did. And he ended up dating someone that she worked with for like a little while.
I mean, that's probably why he was interning, but.
It probably wasn't to go into advertising.
Okay. That's pretty nice.
I'm surprised you don't remember that. That's the Ronnie Turioff story. He was I always played pretty hard. I liked him as a player, and I really liked his personality. He was. I went to the Wolves open scrimmage one year. I think it was in 2015, and he maybe 2014, and he emceed the open scrimmage and did a fantastic job. Really animated, funny guy. So wish him the best.
Nice. That was a good one.
Yeah, Roni Turioff. Let's move on, Brian. We'll just kind of fly through good, bad, ugly, good, better, bad.
Well, sorry, one final piece of news I wanted to share with you.
Good.
Did you know that Miami has Derek Williams on the trading block?
Oh, man. I did not know they have him on the trading block. He's just perpetually available, I think.
If you want him, you can get him. This year,
I do not want him, by the way.
This year, he's playing like himself. He's averaging 6 points in 15 minutes, shooting 39%, 20% from three, 62% from the free throw line, three rebounds, half an assist. He's still not good, but God bless him. He keeps getting a contract every year.
He does, and he plays really well against the Wolves.
If there was ever an NBA specialist, it's Derek Williams, who can only play against the Timberwolves.
Yeah. That's good news. Good tidbit. Let's get into the games, starting off with the only win of the week, a 111-105 overtime win at home against Orlando. Nice win. We held Orlando to 19 points in the fourth, 7 points in the overtime period to win this one. The good for this game, I think, Brian, needs to go to Andrew Wiggins, 27 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block, 2 rebounds. Just a solid game from Wiggins. Got to the line 8 times, which I always like to see Wiggy get in the line.
Yeah, who doesn't? My better is going to go to Ricky Rubio, obviously, going 6-for-9 from 3 with 8 assists, 8 rebounds, running the show, showing Elfrid Payton what it looks like to be a point guard who can shoot in the NBA, despite what all the haters say.
Yeah, he's actually probably the best for this game. Rubio had a hell of a game.
Yeah, no, but I wanted to say it, so.
The best piggybacking off of that is going to go to Rubio's contribution from three, as you brought up. As a team, we ended up shooting 41% from three, which is absolutely huge for us. Orlando, by comparison, shot 28%. We were 12-for-29, mostly due to Ricky Rubio. Let's get into the sad games, Brian. Starting off with a 97-125 loss at Cleveland. This game was over pretty much when it started. We were competitive in the first half, but it just felt like Cleveland wasn't trying until the third quarter, and that's exactly what happened. Even without Kevin Love, Cleveland just sort of ran over us. Kyle Korver puts up 20 points coming off the bench, which was kind of a killer. LeBron, obviously, 11-for-14, could absolutely score at will. Cleveland shot 52% from the field, held us to 43% from the field. Yeah, I mean, we could probably play this game 10 times. I don't know if we win one.
Yeah, they didn't want to lose this game. They were not playing well beforehand, and they're like, okay, we're going to take care of business tonight.
Yeah, and they absolutely did. Highlight of this game is Karl-Anthony Towns, 26, 12, 4, and 1. Also had 2 blocks, only 1 turnover. Just a really, complete game from Towns.
Yeah, only minus 18.
Yeah, I mean, all of our starters.
I'll save the ugly for you. But the bad for me is going to go to Wiggins. Wiggins actually had a pretty decent game, 9-for-17 from the field. But he normally goes off against Cleveland. I was expecting a big national TV Wiggins against Cleveland game. But he only had 23 points, 2 rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks, no shock there. But overall, could have just brought it a little bit more.
Yeah, the ugly for this game clearly has to go to Zach LaVine. Poor one out for him, but 4-for-18 from the field, 0-for-6 from beyond the arc, 8 points total. Yeah, I mean, Zach has games like this, right? And it sucks when he does. I don't really fault him. This is kind of how he plays, and there's some variance to his style. So it's not like he didn't come to play. It just was a night where shot wasn't going in, and he relies on that.
Agreed. Honorable mention to our bench, where Shabazz is basically the only guy that can score.
All right. Moving on. 108-116 loss at Detroit. More than the loss. Obviously, this is the game Zach LaVine tore his ACL in, which was a bummer. Brian, I was watching this game live, and I saw the injury happen, and he went down, and he was really hurt. But then he got back up and played, and I'm like, okay. Just kind of like pulled something. I really didn't think it was going to be a serious injury, so I was surprised when it came out the next day that he had tore his ACL in the game. Man, I don't know what to say about this game. Morris could not freaking miss. Absolutely just drained a couple dagger shots at the end of the game. Scored 36 points, 5 for 9 from three. It's just dumb when, like, I don't know. He's a good player, but when, like,
someone
like
that... Yeah, he's not a 36-point guy.
Yeah, when someone like that goes off for 36, it's just frustrating. But anyways, that's what stood out for me from the game. Brian, who's the good from this game?
Well, I think you just said it. It was Marcus Morris. No, I mean, the good for us, I guess, was our sweet young Zach before he got hurt. One farewell good for Zach. 9 for 13. Was shooting the ball well, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, you know, doing a lot more besides shooting, especially when you compare it to Andrew Wiggins, who can't do anything besides score. So good game for Zach.
It was a nice game for Zach. Very nice game. My bad for the game is going to go to Belly coming off the bench. Sorry, Belly, but I don't know. He's just ineffective scoring. He didn't have a bad game, I guess, but I just wanted to give it to Belly.
Yeah, you just want to troll me, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I want to make you upset.
Yeah, and my ugly is going to go to our tactics. I think we were just beat tactically in this game. Andre Drummond shot 0 free throws, which is not a good strategy for us. He's the guy in the league you probably should foul the most. So that did not work out well. We did not space well on defense because we had our big guys out on the perimeter too much, and they're probably having to help too much. They couldn't close out. So their opposing front court combined to go, 9 for 16 from three, and they started 2 power forwards and a center. So I think we just got beat on a coaching level this night.
Yes, I would agree with that. Let's move on. 99-107 loss at home against Memphis. Memphis, they're just like Dallas. I feel like we've played them like 8 times this year. But anyways, this was a downer of a game. We just failed to score in the middle of this one. We put up 17 in the second, 19 in the third. That's not going to be good enough. I guess I'll go good. Good for this game. I'm actually going to give it to our bench. Our bench puts up 28 points, Belly 7. Bozzi, who's actually been shooting unbelievably well from three lately and playing effectively on offense, put up 11.
Where do you think he's at for the season without looking from three?
Three-point percentage? I know he started the year really bad, but he's been pretty good since then. I want to say like 36%.
45%.
He's 45? On how many shots?
1.8.
Wow.
Which for his 20 minutes is actually a lot.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised.
Good for him. We should pick up the phone and let other teams know how good of a shooter he is.
Yeah, we should tell everyone.
Yeah. Brian, okay. Who's your...
The Grizzlies game? I don't know. We just always lose to the Grizzlies. Like, the only game we beat them this year was the one where they didn't try.
Yeah, well, none of their players played, yeah.
So the good, I'll give it to...
He did good. It's fine.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't really care about this game. This game was super boring. Like, we put up 17 and 19 in consecutive quarters, like you said. Also, kind of a bad... let's give it to Tony Douglas. Plus 24 points off the bench for the Grizz. Just carrying them through. They didn't even have Gasol. We lost to a pretty mediocre team.
My ugly is just going to go to Gorgie.
Yes.
35 minutes, 2 points. It's tough.
He's been pretty bad lately. He... last 5 games shooting 38%, which is quite bad. You know, doesn't really make threes. Doesn't really get to the free throw line for a big guy, which is weird. In the past 5 games, he shot 1 free throw. His rebounds are good. He's still at 10, but yeah, just down to 6 points. And not getting many blocks lately either. Only 0.6 per game in this stretch. So Gorgie, overall, just really disappointing. And if you take out the Miami game, he was averaging 4 points a game over the 4 game stretch.
He has stretches like that all the time. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, anyways, it's what happens when you assemble a roster of really inconsistent dudes who aren't good at defense.
That's true. Last game of the week, this is a 113-115 loss at home against Miami. I was at this one. This game was last night. Kind of a weird game in that we gave up 71 points in the first half. Felt like it was over then. We kind of came back in the third. They pulled away in the fourth. Felt like it was over with about 4 or 5 minutes left. I'd say, Brian, maybe a third of the stadium left. That's how over this game was. I mean, the stadium was empty at the end. All of a sudden, we get two steals at the end. We're making shots. We tie up the game. They make a shot, unfortunately. And then we have the last shot. Our inbounds play was this, Brian. Inbound to Wiggins. Wiggins dribbles at the perimeter. Wiggins dribbles about 3 feet inside the perimeter. Wiggins pulls up for a jump shot.
That's just a great play.
I don't know what to say. Like, I think when we inbounded the ball, if I remember right, there was like 8 seconds left. So it's not like we didn't have time to run a play. I don't know. How many times have we talked about these inbound plays and these last second play? We just have no offense. Like, how is that what we, Hey, Andrew, jack up a long contested two at the buzzer. That's going to be our play. Like, why?
Yeah, I don't really get it.
Yeah, it was tough. But on the flip side, Towns had a really nice game. I'm going to give him the good. Failed to get a double-double, but did put up 35 points. Got to the line 10 times, which is very nice for Towns. 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 1 block. I don't know. I'm kind of done reading stats. Brian, who's your bad or whatever?
Yeah, no, he was a beast. Ricky had a good game too, 14-13. My bad's going to go to Boz, playing like Boz. 4 for 11. Got to the line a little bit this game, but 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 21 minutes.
Yeah, my ugly goes to our point guard defense. Dragic put up 33 on us, including 13 from 17 from the field, Brian, and 7 for 9 from beyond the arc. We just had a complete inability to defend him. He was a plus 17 on a game where they only won by 2. It's problem. Rubio could not contain him. Brandon Rush was on him at times. That didn't work. Tyus Jones, oh my God, he played 30 minutes. That was not good at all. So
wait, Tyus didn't play that bad, did he? He had 9 assists, 2 steals.
Oh yeah, offensively he was just fine. He ran the offense effectively. Defensively, it was bad.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Expected. I mean, guy can't guard anyway. It's just too small. Yes, you think Tyus is hitting the weights?
Yeah, I would assume he's lifting weights. He's not getting much bigger. I can give him a diet on how to gain weight. I don't know. Yeah, that's all I got, Brian. Upcoming schedule. You know, we talked about last week. We thought we had some possible wins coming up, and that obviously did not happen.
Yeah, that didn't transpire.
Yeah, so just looking at the schedule quick, which I obviously did not have pulled up, so I'm stalling.
Yeah, so coming up next on Wednesday, we've got home against Toronto.
Toronto, New Orleans, Chicago, Cleveland, Denver, Dallas, Houston. Not an easy stretch.
Denver, Dallas, Houston. Yeah, I mean, we're so bad now, right? We're probably an underdog in every one of these games until... Nope, Miami's good now, too. So until we play the Lakers... on March 30th.
Is that at home?
Yes.
I think, no, it's at the Lakers on March 24th.
March.
Oh, at home on the 30th. Hey. I gotcha.
Yeah, we'll win one of those two Laker games, but we might lose every game until that.
Yeah, we're not going to lose every game, but it's tough.
Yep, I don't know. I'm not favoring us anywhere. Are you going to the Cleveland game on Valentine's Day?
I think it's, isn't that in Cleveland?
Dude.
Oh, no, it's home.
Yeah.
No, I am not. I'm not going. Kind of cool, though.
Yeah, there's going to be like 5,000 disappointed women at that game. It's like, oh, no, I really want to go to this game on Valentine's Day.
And watch the Wolves lose by 30 with LeBron and Kevin Love. Yeah.
And which sucks because they're actually really valuable tickets. It's going to be kind of full, but.
Yeah, no, it'll be, I mean, it might be sold out. That's going to be a busy game.
But shout out to the nice significant others out there.
True, true. All right, you got anything else, Brian? Tough pod. We'll get through it.
Tough pod, yeah. Tough season. Tough fandom.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Keep the emails coming. TimWolvesPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @TWolvesPodcast and on Facebook, Two Man Wolf Pack. We really appreciate you guys, including the international listeners. And we will talk to you in about a week.
Bye.